The following podcast is scheduled for one awesome show with a time limit of 60 minutes. And now, without further ado, here are your hosts.
Dead Man Walking.
And welcome into Grapple Talk. What is up? My name is Nicky Duche. JK, it's
nice,
Nicky.
Nice.
It's Nick Ragnar.
Aww.
Joined by AC Riley and Jesse Von Ruden. Guys,
show today. Oh, definitely. First off, we got to congratulate AC Riley on being the Indie Power Rankings People Choice winner this week. Congratulations on that one.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
People's
that.
People's Choice. That's who you were.
Yeah.
People care about you, man.
I voted for you.
Thank you.
Am I supposed to say who I voted for?
I didn't.
You didn't?
Wow.
Who did you vote for?
I can't say. Come on, man. Photo confidentiality, right? What did you say? Does it matter?
No.
Are you gonna die over there?
I got this thing in my throat. There's a thing in there.
Is it Mr. Sacco again?
Yeah, I got Mr. Sacco in my throat. But
did you get Mr. Sacco in your throat at some other point in time?
What is that supposed to mean?
I don't know, because he asked me, like, oh, it's Mr. Sacco again. So I just figured
that's a conversation we had in private that I can't believe he just brought up right now.
Oh, that's very true.
But anyways, what we don't keep private.
Here are some of the upcoming shows in the Midwest area.
All right, so coming up this Friday, November 7th, it's ACW number 5 at the Oshkosh Masonic Center, 204 Washington Avenue, of course, in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. The main event is going to be a 3-minute Iron Man match as the ACW heavyweight champion Joey Jet Avalon defends against Oshkosh's favorite son, Nick Colucci. Now, this is going to be an interesting match. We don't see a lot of Iron Man matches on the indie scene, and it's going to be interesting to see if these two guys can actually go a full 30 minutes. Of course, you're also going to see a Water City street fight as the ACW Tag Team Champions Insane Evil take on Oshkosh's party boys, the Dream Police. Of course, Celine Gray will be making her ACW debut against Stacy Shadows with Roadhouse. Plus, the Monster Sadist and Raging Nathan Gus will go to war. Port Satch Peter Schwann, so of course, we'll be taking on Mario Crivello. Doors open at 6:30, bell time at 7. Tickets are only $10 in events and $15 at the door. And guys, I can actually say this much. ACW puts on a quality product time in, time out. If you're in
Absolutely.
The Oshkosh, Fox Valley, River area, make sure you get there.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, we're going to see a ton of rematches, too. I mean, like... Mario Carell and Peter Swans, they had a hell of a match for the opening contest of the last ACW show. Celine Gray and Stacy Shadows, they go toe-to-toe quite a bit in BCW, and, you know, they keep wrestling because the fans want to keep seeing it, and they'll see it in Oshkosh. On Saturday, we'll see our friends at FWF taking on Funkamania 12. That's their big 12th anniversary show at the Lakeview Middle School. That's 848 East Smith Street in Warsaw, Indiana. World title match will be Atomic Dog, who is the current champion. He'll be taking on the Firestorm Rumble winner from last month, Russ Jones, who won the Rumble and gets that guaranteed title shot. We'll also see the FWF Cruiserweight title on the line as Nick's favorite wrestler of all time in FWF, Lightning Bolt Johnson. He takes on the CEO, J.D. Smooth, in a doors, ladders, and chairs match.
So it's not tables, but
no,
they're doors.
There's doors, and they're a lot thicker than the tables that we see in the indie
wrestling. So are there just like
scene.
A bunch of doorways in the ring, and you have to be like...
You have to walk through the doors to get to the ladders?
God, I hope so. I'll be honest, I really hope that that's what they're doing. Also in action is our Spotlight and Squared Circle guest for this week, Chase Matthews versus Jack Thriller in a 2 out of 3 falls match. That is FWF's Funkamania 12 this Saturday in Warsaw, Indiana.
Well, definitely a lot of interesting match types we're going to see this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. And Chase Matthews is going to be a little bit more than normally booked this weekend, if that makes any sense. Because also, SSW, Strong Style Wrestling's new blood event's happening this upcoming Sunday on November the 9th. It's going to be at the historic Roosevelt Center, 215 East Indiana Avenue in Elkhart, Indiana. You're going to see a couple matches. You're going to see a 6-person tag team match, which has Chase Matthews, Danny Shea, and Heidi Lovelace taking on the Prestige, which consists of Big Russ Jones, who also has a double shot weekend, Scotty Young, and Jack Thriller, who also has a double shot weekend. So a lot of these guys looks like they work for pretty much the same promotions, as we see a lot here in Wisconsin. Also, the Strong Style Tournament's going to be happening since the birth of Strong Style Wrestling. There have been many messages from wrestlers all over the country inquiring about becoming part of the Strong Style roster. So that's what the Strong Style Tournament's all about. It's their chance to make it happen. So there will be a single elimination tournament, and the winner will receive a Strong Style Wrestling contract. Kind of a cool concept. You don't see that in indie wrestling a lot, and it almost kind of means that, you know, you're going to see a bunch of new faces. Whoever wins, you're going to see more often at Strong Style. So that's I really like that.
Yeah,
I
do. That's actually a pretty cool idea. In the tournament, you're going to see Roger Lanier, Shane Mercer, Brutus Dillon, Brandon James, Jay West, Eli McFly. You're going to see Ames, and you're also going to see Kyle Maverick. Show starts at 2, as a lot of the Sunday shows start like nice and early.
Like.
Yeah, yeah, that's might. Adult tickets are $15, $5 for children ages 10 and under. It's going to be the Strong Style Wrestling's New Blood this upcoming Sunday.
Interesting fact about this right now is that Roger Lanier is actually the current popular pick for the fans of who they think will come out on top in this tournament, because there's actually a poll on the event page that, you know, they're saying, who do you think is going to
make a lot of the other wrestlers feel kind of bad.
Well, it definitely means that they're going to have to step their game up.
And he's going to have a huge target on his back, because everyone's going to be gunning for him, especially since he's the people's choice, much like A.C. Riley.
Yeah, you're going to be, which is a kind of a, you bring up an interesting concept, because for this week's discussion.
Let us do the reading for you. This is Hindsight Booking.
All right, cool, guys. So last week we debuted this new segment called Hindsight Booking.
What are we talking about this week?
This week we're actually going to talk about something that just happened this past Friday.
Word.
River City Championship Wrestling had their Trick or Treat series.
Yeah.
Basically, a winner of the match was able to have the chance of either getting a trick or a treat.
Yeah.
And A.C. Riley was actually one of the winners of the match, and
you
got a trick.
I did.
You got a trick?
Now, could you actually tell us what exactly that trick was?
Well, that trick is that for the next 6 shows that RCCW holds, I cannot be eligible for any title matches because I don't have any title opportunities for 6 shows.
Does that make you mad?
I'm a little bit upset about it.
Does it make you shoot mad?
Hey, a little bit.
It very much did. He went full-on crybaby mode. He's like, I've been doing this for years. Oh, my God. No respect whatsoever. Screw you, screw you, screw you. I'm out of here.
What?
Yeah, basically, you...
acting like a better man or what?
It was not a better man situation, I can tell you that much. It was very much a crybaby situation. And
Cryberry?
Cryberry, yes. And you became basically a heel in that moment. Now, in hindsight, was it the best thing to do, turning heel at that moment?
You know, that's my personal opinion to do, and I'm actually going to let you guys take the wheel on this because I feel like I have a personal bias in it.
Why? Why do you have a personal bias?
Because I'm part of it. I want to see what you guys actually think about it.
All right, cool. Let's set the stage.
I want you to talk because I already know that you have a strong feeling about this.
All right, so basically in the segment, Butchie Davis hosted it. You also had Jack Spade was in it.
Okay.
You had Sexy KC. You also had Phage. And you had A.C. Riley.
That's like your 3 strongest heels right there.
You had 3 strong heels, and you had A.C. Riley, who very much at this point in time is a face. He's 2-0 in the company, right? So by merit of record, he's undefeated, and he should be in the title consideration. Now, he's the first one to draw any type of envelope, and he comes up on the short end of the stick with the 6th show ban from title matches. Now, on paper, that doesn't seem too bad. Basically, 6 shows, the way River City Championship Wrestling runs, it's once every 2 months, so you would not have a title match until the following year about Halloween. Now, was that the right decision to turn heel on that and basically shoot on everyone for being disrespectful? Now, to me, if you were the better man character as you portray, be like, you know what? I take this as a challenge. I got a whole year to prove that I'm the best wrestler in this company. See, that's pretty cool right there. You come out, people are like, wow, that's pretty cool, you know? Because you already have 3 other heels out there. So why heel up at that point in time? Makes no sense.
It does make no sense. I think if you look at it in a booking aspect, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I think a lot of indie promotions, at least the ones that we see, not maybe on the east side of Wisconsin, because, you know, I haven't been out there, so I don't know what those storylines are like. But there's a lot of promotions that are really heel heavy, very... Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the face is just another guy, and then there's the heels are that have the character and are the ones that are allowed the mic time and get to say whatever they want to say, and the faces are always these, oh, hello, I'm like Mr. Cut, you know, I get cookie cutter guy, hello. I'm plain vanilla, I like vanilla ice cream, what kind of ice cream do you like? It's like, I like things with flavor. So I think, you know, in that aspect, yeah, I can see where you're coming from. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It's like, okay, now there's 4 people in the ring that everybody hate. Like, you know, it doesn't make any sense.
Because if you look at it, they already build A.C. Riley up as LaCrosse's own. So you also have D-Rock Derek Cobain as LaCrosse's own, and you also have Kyle Roberts, who made his debut on this show as well. So what you could very well do is have A.C. Riley go on a tear. He beats all the heels that he can, and he gets that shot. But instead of getting that shot when his ban is over, they turn a blind eye into him. So that gives him a reason to turn heel. He very well could have the best record out of any contender. He could turn heel at that point in time because, let's say, someone else who happens to be one of LaCrosse's favorite sons gets that opportunity. So then you have what we call jealousy and reason to turn heel.
Right.
And I think that's something that a lot of people don't really think about when they book. And I know both the guys who book this, and I'm like, come on, he's got to have a reason to turn heel besides frustration. Because we're all frustrated in some different shape or form. But to have him turn because of jealousy, because someone else got that shot that he rightfully probably could have had, but because of his trick-or-treat series, didn't happen. Now, let's say next year at the same time he's in that same series and gets the same envelope, then that's when it's perfect. Then that's when you're like, you pull the trigger, and he becomes the biggest heel they've ever seen. But right now, he's just another heel in another heel-dominated company.
Right, and I think, I don't know, it seems like maybe part of it was just the idea that it's like, wow, well, AC Riley has never been heel before, and I know there's been rumblings with NIW and stuff. It's kind of like a cool new thing for you to try out. And, you know, some of the videos I saw, I think you're a really good heel, to be honest. I think you're a better heel than you are a face.
Well,
no offense, when you're a face, you're kind of just like all the other faces. Come on, let's go!
But here's the crazy
thing
about
everybody!
That. Here's the crazy thing about that. You could be any type of face you want to, just don't be a prototypical face. Study the great faces like Dusty Rhodes, the Steve Austins, stuff like that. Find a different way for you to go out there instead of doing, come on, generic town! You can go out there and you can have swagger. You can have an attitude and can still be a face. Hogan never
which
really
is
came
what
out there
this
went,
angle,
come on,
which
Luke
is
on!
What this angle could yeah. have really done because it could have allowed you to have that bad streak where you're kind of pissed off that you're like, you know what, yeah, I got this whatever six, you know, show suspension off the title yeah. thing, but I'm going to prove, like you said earlier, that I'm worth, you know, getting a title shot and all whatever you want to say. But I'm just saying overall, you know, I think, you know, the promoters or the bookers were looking at this and were like, why don't we just see what this whole heel AC Riley thing is all about? And instead of waiting and maybe doing some research on how he is in the other companies and stuff, they're like, let's just turn him and just see what happens. Why not? You know,
it's man, it would be kind of cool. Like, what after one show gets another victory, he's like one down, five to go. He keeps on rolling with that. You know, that would have been.
But here's the thing: how many companies around here actually want AC Riley to go on a winning streak?
I'm holding up a number.
That's zero.
Exactly.
And you know that, AC.
I know that
nobody would let you go into
So I understand your frustration and stuff like that, you know, as kayfabe frustration and real-life frustration. But I think this would have been an opportunity where you could have actually made something out of this whole thing.
Right.
And I don't know, maybe hindsight is 20/20, of course. Right?
I mean, yeah, perfectly agree. I mean, it's hard to have heel turns, in my opinion. If you're trying to turn somebody, it doesn't make a lot of sense to do so in the early stages of a show anyways, because those characters aren't set in stone yet. So people are like,
yeah, they're not well-defined.
Yeah, so right. So the only way AC Riley comes out and is defined as, you know, a face is, come on, let's go. It's like, oh, yeah, we like him. And it's like, you know, screw all you. It's like, well, you were just nice to us 10 minutes ago. We have no sort of, you know, chemistry with you because we've seen you wrestle here once.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think the whole turning thing doesn't make a lot of sense doing something early on. Especially, you know, it's just like, if you want him to be heel, just have him start heel at your first show a month ago or 2 months ago.
Yeah, it'd be kind of like, let's see, like D-Rock ends up getting a title opportunity before AC Riley does, but he's got a worse record. Or Kyle Roberts, who's got a worse record or something like that. Then that's when you actually can have that whole heel turn work
yeah.
out. But folks, coming up next, though, spotlight on the Squared Circle, and it's Chase Matthews.
Yeah, it's going to be a huge show, AC Riley. I know you're pretty excited for this one.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this guy is a tremendous talent. He stays super busy. And I mean, pretty much every group that I moderate, every group that I'm a part of to get all the upcoming show details, I mean, I can't go a single day without seeing something about Chase Matthews. So it'll be exciting to get a, you know, pick his brain.
No, that's coming up next
year. What are we playing?
You know, I'm not really too sure. Maybe like, I don't know, like, not too sure. What do you guys want to listen to?
I don't know. What do we play?
I don't know. What do we play today?
What do we play?
I don't know.
Well, that's he's from Michigan, right?
Yeah, he's from Michigan.
Come on. Detroit Rock City.
Do it.
Let's do it. I'm
As I've said before, we've only just begun. You understand? Learn to love it. Learn to live with it. Diamonds are forever. And so
Grapple Talk. Put your hands together. It's the moment of the hour that you've been waiting for. It's Spotlight of the Squared Circle.
Well, this week in the Spotlight Squared Circle, guys, we were sitting with a guy with definitely keeping himself busy over the Midwest independent wrestling scene. We're sitting down with Chase Matthews. And how you doing today, Chase?
All right, man. Fortunately, I have a couple hours left to go into work, so third shift stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, thank you for slaying some time to come talk with us before you got to go to work, and hopefully your shift isn't too horrible. So for the people that haven't heard of you, which especially the Midwest scene seems kind of crazy because you're wrestling all over, it seems like, you know, tell us a little bit about who Chase Matthews is.
Well, I'm from Coldwater, Michigan. I still live here. Maybe a lot of people have heard of Dan Severn, the UFC Hall of Famer. He actually has a school in my hometown, so I was really lucky with that. Watched wrestling my whole life, something I've always wanted to do, and I gave it a couple shots, you know, when I was younger. You know, school and all that, a couple personal issues were gotten away of it, and then I was 21 years old, and I realized that I wasn't going where I wanted to in school. I decided to give it a shot again. Dan, literally, his school is, you know, 10 minutes away from me, so I was fortunate enough to be that close to a school and went there and brushed off a lot of the rust that I had gained from the years that I had stopped going and got brushed off and went under the tutelage of Jack Thriller. And from there, I haven't looked back.
Well, Chase, you know, one really big thing in this day and age is social media, obviously. You know, everybody has a social media account. Everybody knows what's going on through social media. You are, I guess, being known, you know, hashtag Rise of Matthews. Can you kind of talk about, you know, what hashtag Rise of Matthews is all about?
Well, May of 2013, I was in a place that I never thought I would be. Dan had a local wrestling promotion, and when I was younger, I would go watch it. It's called Price of Glory Wrestling, and you know, they were putting on some really quality shows, and I was watching it as a fan. And then, you know, I finally, like, devoted myself to the training, and I became a part of the roster. It was just really weird, because I was, you know, here I was, like, watching a lot of these guys, and now here I am, like, wrestling them. And basically, about a year in on the roster, I had won... I'd won their championship belt from a guy known as Dollar. It was an anything goes match. It was a cool feeling. I had my family there, my friends there, and I won the belt. And I did a show in May for Pride of Glory, and then the very next day, May 5th, I went to Detroit to do a Cinco de Mayo show. I tore my ACL in the middle of my match. I finished the match with my best abilities. You know, I went home and I just thought I sprained it really bad. I twisted it really bad, and I had a really nasty limp. But I was, you know, I hung out with some friends that night. I ended up watching like a 2.5 hour long movie at the movie theater. So like my leg was all clamped up in the theater. I went home, went to sleep, and woke up the next day, and my right leg was like twice the size it was the day before.
Wow.
I couldn't move it. I couldn't even lift it. It was nasty. I had to get help out of bed. I needed help getting dressed. And I went to the doctor immediately and found out I had a torn ACL. So long story short, I had to take 6 months off. And, you know, about December of 2013, I came back. My first match down in Ohio. And it was like I was never gone. Like I didn't think about my knee injury. Yeah, I still felt like I did before. But I only told myself I wanted to get better. I wanted to be better than I was before, and I wanted to regain everything that I'd lost. And 6 months off, man. 6 months just sitting on the sidelines and not being able to do what you do. It affects a lot of people.
Yeah.
And, I'd go to shows and, like, you know, they'd have some shows where there wasn't very good matches, and it actually just, you know, it pissed me off, really, because, like, I couldn't do anything. And I missed out on a Shane Douglas seminar, which, just sitting there, I learned a lot, but I wanted to be in the ring with him as he was doing it, and I couldn't. So I come back January 2014 for Pro Wrestling All-Stars, the same promotion where I tore my ACL at. Started a storyline between myself and Lance Starr, who was the guy who I was wrestling when I tore my ACL. You know, blamed him for tearing my ACL, blamed him for the 6 months off. Basically, I just came back and, you know, I wanted to make a statement. I wanted my character wanted people to feel what I felt for the 6 months. And I came, you know, fast forward, I believe it was June or July of 2014, I had a six-man ladder match for their mid-card title, the Cruiserweight Championship. I just got out and cut a promo, and, you know, I put a lot of thought in my promos, and I came up with the Rise of Matthews, and, you know, and I told everybody at the end of the match I'd be sitting on top of the ladder with the belt, looking down amongst everybody that's fallen, and I ran with it. I really liked it. I put it out as a hashtag, it's on the back of my t-shirts now. And, the goal behind it is I wanted to be better than I was before, and I honestly feel like I have.
Well, speaking of being better than you are before, Don actually wanted to ask, what brings the best out of Chase Matthews?
Myself, really. I hope that didn't sound weird. I can't go less than 100% in anything I do, especially with wrestling. And, like, some guys will get in there and they'll sandbag other guys. Like, I can't do it. Like, I don't know what it is. It's a pride issue. You know, what brings the best out of me is just, you know, just watching those things and knowing that I can do better than some of those guys that I watch. And that's what I want to do. Or watching guys that are way better than me, and, like, I want to be there. Like, I want to be with those guys. And the only way to get places where you want to get is to be good at what you do. So that's basically the drive behind it all is I cannot find myself to do less than 100%. So,
you know, Chase, I gotta give you kudos, man. You finished that match with a torn ACL. Not a lot of athletes could actually finish anything once you tear that. So let's take us back just a little bit. Going through rehab, it's one of those things that we've talked to a lot of wrestlers who've actually have been injured, been on the shelf. Rehab, what's that kind of like for someone who's never really been through that?
It was hell, man.
Hell? Just straight hell, or?
Hell. Like, it was a lot of, it breaks down your mentality, like, it just breaks you down a lot. But what had happened was, is I tore it in May, and I was set for surgery maybe, like, 3 weeks later, sometime in June. And I had to pass a couple medical examinations so I can have the surgery. And, well, the thing about it was, is, like 2 days before I was supposed to have surgery, they told me that I needed to be cleared of some of these things. And I had asked them why, you know, why wasn't I told of this before? I would have done all this taken care of. And so basically I had to walk around on a torn ACL for 2 months before it was ever taken care of. And in that time, my body had formed a way to walk around where it didn't hurt as bad. I mean, it killed me every day. But I was walking around with a bent leg. So when your leg is bent for 2 months straight and you can't straighten it out and you can't bend it farther than what it is now, that's basically all my therapy was straightening my leg back out. And I had lost total use and control of my right quad muscle. I couldn't, my calf was, it was as if it was, like, permanently flexed because of me walking around for 2 months with a bent. Mm-hmm. It was awful, man. 2 months, I had therapy for about 4 months out of six. And then, like, or 5 months out of six, and then the last month, I basically did home therapy. But it's terrible, man. Like, it takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot out of you. Because, you know, you want to be tip-top shape in little time, and when you realize that, okay, in 2 weeks you're not going to be better, it starts to get at you. But at the same time, it also motivated me even more to try to get back as soon as I could, you know?
Right.
You hear guys tearing their ACLs and they're out for a year or more. I was back in 6 months.
Wow. Yeah. So, That's definitely commendable. And, you know, Chase, talking about wanting to come back and all that other stuff, I mean, it sounds like, I mean, you just have a huge workload going on here recently. What's that kind of been like for you, just the transition of, you know, having to stay off your feet for so long and now just having that rigorous schedule where it seems like every weekend you're always booked and you always got something going on in the wrestling biz?
Well, for me, it's something that I feel like I have to do. Like, I need to be out there. I need to be seen. I need to perform, like, that's just something I need to do, you know.
Well,
personally wise, like, you know, we got family and friends that they don't see it the way I do, and I try to get them to understand it. But, you know, some do, some understand it, some don't. And, you know, I realize it's hard on them, but some of them even try to come watch me, which is really cool. I don't know, like, I feel like I need to be out there. Every now and then, a weekend off, like last weekend I had off. I kind of need it too, but I feel like I need to be out there every weekend as much as I possibly can.
Yeah, absolutely, Chase. I mean, you know, looking at your schedule, I mean, a lot of times when we're doing a preview of the upcoming shows, your name actually pops up on quite a bit. So, for example, you know, you mentioned Pro Wrestling All-Stars of Detroit. You got Infinity Pro Wrestling coming up in a little bit. This weekend, yep. You got not only FWF on Saturday, but Strong Style Wrestling on Sunday. So, yep. That being said, you know, those are just a handful of places we've listed, but where are some of your favorite places to wrestle when Chase Matthews is at a show?
Oh, man. I wouldn't be, I'd be lying if I didn't say I like them all, man. I really do. All the places I've been working at lately, they're very, very respectful, and they know how to treat their guys. Funny story about FWS is, like, I've never even heard of these guys. I didn't even know where Warsaw, Indiana was. A couple of my friends had went to the show, and they told me about it. And I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. And they had a show called Bash at the Boggs. Well, I didn't realize that Boggs was a baseball diamond. Oh. And it was an outdoor show. And the only thing I could think of was, oh, man, like, I think it was in August or something. Maybe June. It's hot out. Oh, that's all I know. And I did not want to wrestle in the sun. And, but I got there and the crowd, there was like 300 people there. It's insane. I was like, holy crap. Like, I've never heard of these guys and they draw and they love wrestling. They cheer the good guys and they boo the bad guys. Like, it is a wrestling crowd that every show wants to have. The guys running the show treat their talent with respect. Strong Style Wrestling is the same way, and they always dig deep in their pockets to bring in all these guys in. I mean, it's cool. I got a big opportunity coming up on the 21st because of Strong Style Wrestling. I get to wrestle Christian Rose, something I'm really looking forward to. I mean, like, Pro Wrestling All-Stars, I can't complain one bit. You know, they had enough trust in me to carry their mid-card title, and I've done exactly that. I've taken it to a couple shows and represented Pro Wrestling All-Stars. I just got booked on November 15th for a show called Apex Pro. My first time being there. Sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. I know that I've known the promoter for a long time. I've never had a chance to work for him, though. I'm going to give that a shot. And Infinity's, oh, man. I had my first show last month with them, and it was amazing. Like, amazing.
So, Chase, I guess you just don't know the meaning of the word no, right? You can't say no to all these bookings or being on the shelf with that torn ACL. One of the things we always ask everyone is, who were some of your influences growing up? Like, who did you look up to in the business?
You know, I was younger. You know, a lot of lot of people my age and, you know, guys even older, like a lot of guys, okay, you know, Hogan was their inspiration and stuff like that. And I just remember being like a five-year-old kid. I had a Million-Dollar Man wrestling buddy. And I was always putting the Million-Dollar Man in the sharpshooter. Like, I loved Bret Hart. You know, a typical five-year-old, you know, young kid, loved the good guys, didn't care for the bad guys the best. You know, the older I got, like, I look at a lot of those guys, and, like, Owen Hart was amazing. Like, and I didn't like him as a little kid. You know, I shouldn't have, because that's what the TV was telling me to do. You know, I shouldn't like the good or bad guy. I should like the good guy. Bret Hart was a big inspiration. You know, a lot of people might give me crap for this, but, you know, I was a really big fan of Chris Benoit, huge fan of Jericho. You know, those guys growing up, because I grew up in the, I was real young in the Attitude Era. So I'm only 25. So some of the Attitude Era is a blur to me. I don't remember a lot of it, but, like, you know, 2000 to, like, 2007 was probably some of the best years, I think. Some weird storylines, though. Like, a lot of those, like, Kurt Angle. I mean, if anybody doesn't say Kurt Angle, I think they're crazy. That guy went from being an amateur wrestler to a professional wrestler within months. And he was one of the best.
Right.
There's so many, like, even nowadays, there's so many names. People ask me all the time who are my favorites, and I can't answer them because I watch everybody, and I like something from everybody, except for Mojo Rawley. I don't like that guy one bit.
Oh, come on, man. You don't want to stay hyped?
No way. Not at all.
Well, Chase, you know, obviously you're young. We just found out where your inspirations come from. Now, how are you turning those inspirations into goals? What are you looking to do here in the upcoming future?
I'm willing to go. I want to go as far as my body's going to let me, and basically, I want to go as far as my work is going to get me. I just for a while there, and I don't even know why. Like, I never had any ambitions to, like, go to a gym or anything like that. I was kind of a cheap ass. I didn't want to pay for membership or anything like that. I just got access to, you know, Dan's gym. So I've spent like 4 or 5 days in the gym now. I absolutely hate tanning beds, but I started tanning again. You gotta look like you want this. And I'm trying. Like, I really am. So I want to go as far as my work and my body will take me. I'd be lying if, you know, I said I didn't want a contract with WWE. I think that anybody who does this wants that. I'd love to go to Japan or to Europe or anywhere over there. I just recently got hooked on Japanese wrestling. For the longest time, I couldn't watch it because the commentary, like, I like listening to commentary sometimes, but I couldn't understand anything they're saying. I'd love to go over there. I'd love to learn Japanese. I've been looking into it. I just, you know, those are my dreams. That's where I want to go.
Well, you know, Chase, I mean, when we were talking to a lot of guys that guys and gals that, you know, are going overseas, the common theme we notice is definitely a good work drive and work ethic, and I think you're definitely on the right track as far as that goes. One last question before we wrap things up for the spotlight. You know, Dean, speaking of FWF, wanted to know, what is your all-time dream match?
Man, that is the hardest question ever. I don't know.
So it's really Mojo Rawley, right?
Yeah. Hopefully last man standing match.
All right, cool. Loser quits wrestling forever.
So,
but no, in all seriousness, do you actually have a dream opponent? If you could go back in time, would you actually wrestle Owen Hart?
Oh, definitely. Without a doubt. I'd wrestle. But that's the thing. Like, I'm up to wrestling pretty much anybody that I get put up against. I mean, yeah, there's some guys where, no way. I mean, I'd love to wrestle Vader just to get my ass kicked. You know, I'm a huge, like, big guy versus little guy fan. I will pop for that match any time of the day. When I first started wrestling, I got to be in a three-on-one handicap match against Congo Kong, and I loved it because I just love big guys just destroying the little guys, and I'm a little guy. So, I don't know, man. It's just a ton. I mean, you know, if I go back and wrestle Bam Bam, just so he can moonsault me. That'd be awesome.
That'd be an interesting match on its own.
I can't, you know, it's hard to toss up. It's a toss up between Vader and Bam Bam, who's the best big man. I love them both. I don't know. That's a really hard question.
Well, Chase, we want to thank you for coming on in the spotlight in the squared circle. And, you know, good luck in the future, man. Obviously, things are looking good for you right now, and things are probably only going to get, you know, even more exciting for Chase Matthews.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it, guys. It's really cool.
Not a problem. And that was Chase Matthews here on the spotlight squared circle. We got Wrestler's Perspective right after this.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Why is Vic's office in the men's room? Can anybody answer this question?
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
Remember, kids, always wash your hands after going to the bathroom.
Wow, that was a great interview there with Chase Matthews.
Absolutely.
I mean, if we didn't have a time constraint, this guy would have talked our ears off until tomorrow.
Probably, but I mean, it was all really knowledgeable stuff. I mean, the guy's been through... It sounds like the dude's been in the business for like 30 years. He's 25.
Yeah, he's only been in the business really in... 4 years, of any minus that 6 months he was out on the shelf, we're looking at a guy who's been in the business for 3.5 years, who's working every weekend.
This guy reminds me a lot of Adrian Peterson. Remember when he tore his ACLs back like 10 months later?
Yeah, yeah.
Except for he doesn't, I'm pretty sure he doesn't hit his kids with switches.
Yeah, that'd be a terrible thing if he actually did. So.
Yeah, that would be. We should probably move on, though. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Nine games for a misdemeanor. Wow.
Right, yeah. That's a pick that guy up my fantasy football. Anyways. It's time for, you know, AC Riley's favorite segment of the show.
Put on your bifocals. It's Wrestler's Perspective.
And AC Riley, this week we are, we're going full on wanting to know what your opinion is. Because we know what everybody's answer always is for this question, but I want to know what your answer is. So, AC Riley, do you like being heel or face more?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, like...
I know it's a good, that's why I asked it.
Oh, wow. Anyways, moving along to the answer. I mean, when I first started out, I always thought it was so much fun to be a face because, you know, you're like, oh, people that don't know you from anywhere, you're just like, oh, yeah, you're a really cool man. And you're like, all right, yeah, like, I'm popular.
Right.
Because, I mean, I was never popular in high school, so it was a nice change of pace.
Right.
But, man, I've noticed more and more as the years goes on, I really like being a heel. Now that I've gotten a few opportunities to really sink my teeth into it, I just realized that, you know, since, you know, my dad, myself, you know, we tend to be kind of a bit of a smart asses in our family. I feel like it's a lot easier to be a dick and then a smart ass and all combined into one.
Just talking about dicks and asses right now.
Your two favorite topics. you know, in that case, you know, you can just, you know, be a jerk to somebody. And the best part is that, you know, your mission in life as a heel is to make them hate you. And all you got to do is just say the wrong stuff, and they'll just like, oh, that guy.
Right, but I mean, a lot of people always say it's a lot easier to be a heel than a face, because you can walk out there and be like, hey, man, you're ugly. Hey, nice haircut, douche. And it's like, God, this guy's so mean to me. I hate that guy. But when you come out there, you're searching for acceptance. You know, it's like, come on, hey, we all like things. Like, cheer for me. And everybody's like,
I like corn.
I don't think you have wrestlers come out and say, hey, man, you like corn? I like corn, too. Let's be friends.
Plus,
high five.
Unless you're wrestling in Nebraska or Iowa.
Or
yeah,
Iowa.
I guess. But, you know, the reason that, you know, when I manage you and the heel thing works is a lot of people say it's a lot easier, but it is dependent on how your personality is. Like, I know that, you know, if we're sitting at Subway or something or anywhere for any restaurant for that matter, we see somebody, you know, we'll make fun of them. Like, seriously. And it's totally mean and totally inappropriate. But it's like, huh, look at that guy. Look at all the things wrong with what's going on over there. And it's like, it's so easy to translate that and be in the professional wrestling world where you can say that stuff out loud and not worry about being judged because you're working, you know, you're in character. It's just weird because it's almost like, you don't mean to sound like, you know, I don't want to sound like an asshole right now, but... You know, it's almost like you get to actually be who you are, just you get to be it in public rather than being, you know, like, I'm just going to...
So are you saying that AC Riley in real life is a terrible human being?
Yeah, he's a dickhead. That's 100% accurate, yeah. But, I mean, I am too, and I know that, you know, it's you know, you'll see somebody walk, you're like, look at that f***ing idiot. You know, it's just like, but you're not going to go tell it to them, you know, you're not going to go say that to them. But, I mean, if you're in the wrestling where you're like, hey, look at you over there, look at you. I'm gonna say something about your weight or your height or something that has to do with you and where you live, and then it's like, wow. You know.
Well, it is definitely easier to get people to hate you than to actually like you. But I think it's one of those things where I think a lot of people get really wrapped up into the whole, oh man, I want to be a villain, bro. You know, because it's so easy.
Right.
So the challenge should be, how do you become the best villain possible?
You know, a lot of people, I think, have the idea where they're like, that's why I think the boringness of being a heel comes into play, where it's like, instead of, you know, trying to come up with that idea, how do you be the best villain? They just want to have, you know, I'm a badass. Look at my chest, how puffed out it is. I'm so bad. Hey, this town sucks. Why don't you guys go back to Stupidville? It's like, that's not fun, man. It's just like, everybody says that. You know, it's more fun if you add, like, you know, like, take the Ross family, for example. Like, sure, they come out and they say the same things everybody else does, but they do it in such an entertaining and theatrical way that you don't see every now and then. It's like, the stick that Vic Ross has, how Jack Spade and Jason Masters and Scott Williams act when they're coming out to the ring, or how they interact with the crowd, how they say things on the microphone. It's so different than what you hear from heel number one and heel number two, and I think that's what makes heels different, what, you know, makes that kind of that kind of character stand out more than just, hey, what's up, Lacrosse, Wisconsin? Oh, do you guys play lacrosse here? Obviously not, because you're all fat and nobody's active here. Yeah, like, boo, we are kind of active, but you don't know who we are, boo.
Boo.
You know, it's just kind of how it is these days. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Well, that's it for this week's Wrestler's Perspective. I think I kind of took that one under my
own. It kind of did.
Commentator's corner.
AC Riley apparently can't talk at all the show. You're speechless. We should have never gave him that gimmick, because now he's just going to use that all the time.
You know, the best thing about that gimmick, though, is the simple fact that, well, he's never going to use it.
Yeah, you never are going to use it, which might be your most favorite gimmick ever. Anyways, though, now it's time for...
Hey, if you don't use it, you lose it, right?
You don't... What?
Yeah.
You lose your penis?
No, you just... No, not your penis. That's an urban myth, you know?
You know what else is an urban myth?
If you're Bruce Willis or a die-hard wrestling fan, here's Tape Study with Jesse Von Rudin.
Apparently, I don't have a life because all I do is watch wrestling. So this week, you guys will be also watching wrestling as well.
Yeah.
This week's Tape Study is from January 23rd, 1989, from Madison Square Garden. It's courtesy of the World Wrestling Federation, but they are the WWE right now, so we're going to make sure we say the WWE.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
Yeah, you got to make sure you do that.
Oh,
what is it?
It's tag team competition as the Brainbusters take on Rockers. Now, this is actually kind of interesting because you have three Hall of Famers and Marty Jannetty in this room.
Sorry.
All right, well, anyhow, the Brainbusters, the team of Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard, at this point in time, quite possibly the best tag team in the world. They work on a totally different level. They're thinking on a different plane, and they're taking on probably one of the hottest young tag teams at that current moment in the Rockers, Shawn Michaels, Marty Jannetty. Becomes a study of how to cut that ring in half and use it to your advantage. Now, the cool thing about the Rockers in this match is they try to outsmart the Brainbusters, and it actually pays off for a little bit. Of course, then the Brainbusters put down the hammer with the legendary Bobby the Brain Heenan on the outside. This is just a classic example of tag team wrestling done right at the highest level.
Right, yeah. Tag team wrestling always awesome. I want to ask you something, Jesse.
Yeah, sure.
How do you think history in pro wrestling would have been if they would have had Marty Jannetty turn on Michaels instead? I just want to know. Like, how do you think history would have turned out then?
Terrible.
Do you think it was the idea, just how much talent Michaels had, and they're just like, we gotta...
I think it became one of those things where I think Michaels was always pegged as the guy who would have had the single success because he had more drive, really, than I think Marty Jannetty is. And honestly, if Marty Jannetty heard that, he's probably, oh, you know, yeah, he'd be right, you know, because I think you have to have a certain type of motor to break out as a single star these days, especially even back then. And I just think Michaels outworked Marty Jannetty. Marty Jannetty is fantastic in the ring, don't get me wrong, but Michaels had it.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where it's like, you look back and you could try to think about it, but it just doesn't work out that way.
It doesn't make sense that way because there's no way that it could have, it wasn't this way or that way, it was Michaels is the guy.
Yeah, certain things are meant to be throughout the course of history, and Shawn Michaels being the star out of that bunch, and Marty Jannetty forever being tagged as Marty Jannetty. And
yeah,
every
tag
wrestler who doesn't make it ends up being a Marty Jannetty. It's just one of those things.
That sucks for him. Obviously, Michaels is one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, it'd be kind of like, let's say, if Hogan would have stayed in the AWA instead of jumping ship to the WWF.
Yeah. WWE.
Get the F out. I stole your joke, Casey Riley. I apologize.
Right. Well, I think we need to get the F out. Grapple Talk episode number 49.
I see what you did there.
Thanks.
I took that one back.
Thanks. Grapple Sock, Grapple Socks.
Grapple Sock.
You can get order your new Grapple Socks on our website, our Facebook page. What's our Facebook page, AC?
Well, we don't have any Grapple Socks, but our Facebook page is facebook.com/thegrappletalk.
Oh, okay. And Twitter is what?
It's at thegrappletalk.
And our Instagram is what?
We don't have an Instagram.
We don't have one, no.
We Go should.
Ahead. We don't have one. Do you, I don't know how to work that thing, man.
Isn't it just take pictures and say something clever about the picture?
I have no idea.
I think you gotta add a filter and all that stuff, too.
I don't know what that is.
No, it's probably a good thing we don't add filters to our commentary on the show. Yeah, guys, if you ever have a question, feel free to hit us up.
Yeah, definitely. So, for Jesse Von Rum, AC Riley, I'm Nick Ragnar. We'll catch you guys. AC Riley, closing comments. I'm
looking forward to episode 50 next week.
Why?
Milestone, baby. Woo.
Okay. That was a
WrestleMania, great baby. Woo.
We're okay. Yeah, we're going to leave before you get
he
more
just went
drunk
full bull cheap.
Actually, big show.
Stay classy. Hey, this upcoming week on Grapple Talk, huge show, episode number 50, and I'm super excited.
I'm excited, too. It's our milestone, and we got a huge guest coming our way. Who do we got, Nick?
I think Rhino's coming on.
We got Rhino.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
town.
Rhino's coming. Yeah, you're
That's
surprised.
Cool,
are you surprised,
man.
Jesse?
A little bit, yeah. I did not see that one coming out
of
here.
Do you have any idea how hard I had to try to get it out of AC Riley earlier today? He wouldn't tell me, and then I got it
well,
out.
Well, because
of him.
He clinched?
Yeah, that was gross. Rhino's coming on next week.
Wow,
dude.
That's going to be interesting. We're going to pick the brain of a former ECW World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, stop.
Are you speechless? I'm speechless. I'm going to pat myself on the back so hard I'm speechless.
Well, hopefully you won't be speechless next week, obviously, because Rhino's coming on, and that means only one thing. Gore! Gore! Gore!
Thanks for joining Grapple Talk.
That was actually the only miss of the entire year. I don't think you ever missed one.
I don't know about that.
I don't think you ever did. Jesse, you missed the first, 27.
Well, you guys didn't invite me to be
keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
You know, maybe we'll take TNA Spawn Spike TV. I don't know. But, our content's more fresh than theirs, is, to be honest with yourself, Jesse.
It's a little cleaner, too.
You know what? I'm probably pissing off people that like TNA, so I'm going to stop saying that right now.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.